This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. So we had finishing up minicamp pretty much this morning with the your tweet, the announcement that they were going to have a day three. I guess we'll start with... I don't know if you guys, if you watched the video on Giants.com, first question out of the box, baby. You want to talk about it, Chris? It's pretty funny.
Well, it was a little funny, the reaction. I asked Dable about the D got a little bit better of the offense, and John Feliciano, the center, was talking to us about it, and so I kind of mentioned that to Dable, and he got a little it's early yet to be talking about it. He got a little defensive. I guess he's a little, a little sensitive with his offense. And I said to him, I said, if anybody's seen it, said, I know. I'm just telling you, I'm just repeating what Feliciano said, Yeah. And he was like, no. I'll talk to John about that and this and that. But I found it a little funny his reaction. He didn't care for, you could tell he didn't care too much for me saying the defense kind of controlled the offense a little bit, got the better of the play, which everybody else was reporting. And, and the players were even reporting it. Not that it's a big deal. It's a mini camp and it's really early and all that. But it did happen on the field where the offense was letting, blitzes come in untouched.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what aspect of it is the defense winning? Is it just the fact that they're getting through the blitzes?
Just that, you see blitzing guys off the slot and, and a little bit of confusing looks. That seems to a guy like a veteran like Feliciano admitted it. He goes, Wink threw the sink at us today. He gave us a lot of different looks, and they got the better to play. We're going to have to improve on a lot of things. Now, the flip side of that, Jerry, is that that's also good for Daniel Jones and the offense, okay?
Yeah.
Because they'd be prepared. Because when you're prepared for a defense like Wink Martindale and everything he shows you, different looks, and he's got safeties playing linebackers dropping back, and guys coming from everywhere. And Xavier McKinney, I saw him blitz about, he had a blitz about 5, 6, 7 times.
Yeah.
And he's OTAs and in a mini camp.
Yeah.
So he's going to be very aggressive off the line of scrimmage. He's not going to be bored. As he told me last year, he got bored. That's not going to happen this year. He's going to be very active all over. So on the flip side, it's good for Daniel to see it. The offense is going to have to, adjust to that as he moves along. Look, it's a learning process, these mini camps and OTAs. It's basically for installs, which you saw a ton of the last few days. The playbook is basically installed. They're going to obviously touch up on some more stuff when training camp starts. Mm-hmm. And Wink is basically installed his defense of what they expect and what they're going to do, obviously with tweaking along the way. Adjustments and all that. So, they were supposed to have a third practice today, Jerry. Dable decided to cancel it, and they seemed to have a team barbecue at the facility.
Okay.
And I don't know. I wouldn't doubt, Jerry, if Dable and Shane take and a bunch of Giants go to the Ranger game tonight at the Garden. That wouldn't surprise me. I know Dable and Shane would be there.
We need Dable.
Yeah. He's a good luck draw. And, and I wouldn't surprise you, Jerry, there was like 8 to 10, maybe even more Giants even at this game tonight before they take off, for the month and a half. They'll be off now to July 26th, except for the rookies. They got to come in a week earlier.
Right.
So it's a lot of time off. That's where we're at. Dable likes the progress, Jerry. He said he likes the way everything is coming along. He likes the way the players are all, getting along with each other. They're building that Dable culture that he wants. So... next time we see these guys, dude, it'll be for real. It'll be training camp, preseason games right around the corner after that, and that's where we're at.
Think about it. It's got to be fun for a guy like Martindale, right, who has all these aggressive blitz packages and these exotic blitzes, and he's looking across, and it's a whole new offense. Yeah, rookies. Evan Neal could be great, but he's a rookie, right?
Yeah,
a whole new line practically, or a lot of new guys.
He's
almost like being a bully, right? Like, and he should be. He should show them all kinds of things, but it's almost got to be funny for him. Like, look at this. Like, almost like you believe I'm gonna send right now. They're not gonna have a damn clue what the hell is coming at them, right? Like, it's got to be a blast for him. Yeah. I couldn't imagine being in that position.
Yeah. And at times, Jerry, it looked like they didn't have a clue what the hell was coming. Feliciano was telling a pretty funny story that before every practice, he kind of talks with Martindale and kind of goes, all right, what are you doing today? And Martindale, you know, basically told Feliciano, oh, wait till you see what I have in store for you today. You know? Right. And Feliciano's like, come on, you got to, you know, give me a break, you know, and they'll joke him back and forth. Come on, give me a break, you know? And Week goes, oh, no. Today's going to be the day. Watch what I have in store for you today. And it looked like they were, you know, confused at times. It really did. I mean, I got to be honest with you, watching, and these are just 11-on-11, you know, team drills. And even me, I'm looking left. I'm looking right, like, all right, is this guy coming? Is this guy, you know, who's coming? Yeah. You see guys coming up at the line of scrimmage. And it's like, it's pretty fun to watch, you know? Right. It's pretty fun to watch. Because you look at every play, like, all right, who's going to come here? Who's going to come? Who's dropping back? Is it an overload on one side? They'll drop, there'll be three overload on one side, and two of them will drop back, and the two on the other side, the other slot are coming. So it's going to be fun watching the offense. You're going to hear a lot of this, Jerry. You're going to hear a lot of me saying this come July and August. Ooh, Jerry, defense is way ahead of the offense.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You're going to hear me saying that a lot. I have a feeling you're going to be hearing me saying that a lot until the offense settles down. You know, let's not forget, though, Andrew Thomas should be back at camp, you know. Joshua, the third-round pick, Ezekiel, has been playing left tackle.
Yeah,
obviously, Lemieux has missed a lot of football. He's been a left guard, you know, and Evan Neal, the rookie, you know. Hey, dude, I don't care what conference Evan Neal played in. He's going to see some looks come training camp.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And in regular season that he's never seen before. Trust me. You know, they're not complex systems in college like they are in the NFL. Okay, so it'll be a learning on the fly with him too, man. So but that's what they're here for, Jerry. That's what this is all about. Learning, you know, in the process. This is what it's all about.
I mean, should we also talk about the viral video at all? I mean, 2 million views.
Yeah, so let's talk about
2 million views. 2 million views today, dude.
Did it hit 2 million?
Yes.
I haven't
checked. I'm watching it like it's beat the clock. I'm staring at look at this.
It's amazing how what Jerry's talking about, which I'm sure a lot of people know, is that so I focused in on Kadarius Toney. He's about to start catching balls off the jugs machine. And I have it, and it took a few seconds, and then one ball landed at his feet.
Yeah.
And then it took a little few seconds, and then another ball landed, I think, low by his ankles.
Yeah.
So I was going to take it off, saying, well, what the hell? Then I just want to have some fun and go, okay, I'm going to keep it on. And then I put a little tweet saying, believe me, trust me, the jug machine was working, you know, got started. What the hell I worded it?
That was the next tweet. That was funny. Right.
Next tweet, like, it started up. Trust me, the machine is working, you know. But I was going to delete it. And I said, oh, what the hell? You know, have a little fun with it. Just as like a little fun, Jerry, you know, like, you know, Kadarius reaching down to pull. The guy's waiting for the ball to come up in his hands. And holy, then all of a sudden, what happened, everybody, was that Jerry texts me the next morning and go, Chris, there's 333,000 views on that video. And I'm like, what? Huh. I'm like, and then all of a sudden I'm at practice, I'm looking at it, and I see 1 million, 1.1 million. And then we're getting direct messages from ESPN, and look, can we play that video? You know, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, holy crap. I could not believe how that video went viral.
Yeah.
But it really did. And now it's 2 million views. And it's just pretty funny, dude.
I know it was big when my kids saw it outside of something I would send them. When they sent me a Barstool link and said, is this Chris? And I was like, yep. So
yeah, Barstool retweeted it. And it was, everybody had fun with it, of course. You know, people always had to chime in. That's Daniel Jones throwing. That's Tua throwing. The Giants can't afford a jugs machine. You know, everybody was having good fun. Yeah, everybody was having, you know, fun with it. But I just couldn't believe the way it took off, Jerry.
Me neither. I mean, at one point yesterday, it was funny because it was like 5,000 every 3 minutes. It was jumping up. And now it's at 2 million. Probably level off now, but oh, my God. I mean, that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, dude.
So mini camp is over, right? Just as fast as we talked about, as fast as it is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And the players will be coming back at the end of July, which probably in a flash we'll be talking about that. All right, Jerry, here we are at camp, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how fast every time is flying. So what did you get out of mini camp? Well, it wasn't a very eventful mini camp, Jerry. You know, they did some red zone and a lot of installs. You know, CJ Board continues to have a pretty strong offseason. They did some good things in the red zone. Of course, let's not forget, there's no Galladay on the field.
Right.
You know, no Kadarius Toney on the field. No Sterling Shepard on the field. You know, so some of these young guys and whatever got some work in. Saquon Barkley, he met with us yesterday, and you could tell he's like a different guy. As far as, you know, the last few years have been really rough on him between injuries, quarterback play, offensive line play, the system, the whole deal, right? So he looks refreshed. He basically admitted that he lost confidence the last few years, and he didn't have the confidence he had back at Penn State or even his rookie year with the Giants. And he feels that, you know, he's finally healthy, and he likes what's going on with the system. I asked him if he was excited in the system. He told me, you know, he's very excited. You know, he plans on getting the ball in space and utilize what he does best. You know,
yeah.
He's going to be in motion a lot. You're going to see him on the outside. You're going to see him in a slot. You know, that's what he's going to be doing. You know, and he seems to be a new guy. You know, the last few years wore him, Jerry. You know, being around him. You know, watching him in presses. You could tell he really wasn't the same Saquon. You know.
He said like he even lost confidence. Wasn't the same. Yeah. Didn't have as much confidence as college.
Yeah, he lost confidence. You know, the injuries really took a toll on him. You know, look, a lot of people doubting him. You know, he even made that statement yesterday saying, good, you can stay on that side of the table when it's, you know, when this gets turned around, when I turn this around, stay on your side. In other words, he was telling people in the media and telling his doubters, hey, when I'm going wild, don't be saying how great I am now. You know what I mean? That's exactly what he was saying, because he's been down on the media a little bit, Saquon. He's probably the first time in his life, Jerry, the last few years, you know, he's heard negative stuff about him, and he has read negative stuff about him. You know,
and
a war on him, and you could tell he's a sensitive, you know, guy. He's a good dude, and he didn't like it, man. And you know, and now he's basically like, well, when I turn this, you know, when I go off this year, don't be jumping on a bandwagon. That's basically what he was telling everybody yesterday. You know, I got, you know, getting to know Saquon, you know, being around him 4 years. You could tell what he meant, you know.
You know, like we always go back to that draft, and we say what we would have done, and Quentin Nelson, blah blah blah, or Josh Allen, right? But it's easy to forget the enthusiasm for those who wanted Saquon, for those who wanted the running back. It's easy to forget the enthusiasm that was coming with Saquon, like, well, this is a bona fide superstar, and how good he was his rookie year. You know, it's easy to forget that. And it's just a shame that the last couple of years would happen. But as another guy, like, he's very easy to root for. And obviously, you want him to have a great year, and you just hope that he can return to some form of what he was as a rookie, and that this line can hold. The line should be better. So if he's healthy, it should be, the offense should be better. Like, everything's kind of lining up for him, I would think. You know, better offense, better scheme, better offensive line. You know, I hope he can do it this year. That's all.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man, but it seems like we've been saying that the last 3 years, right? Should be a better offensive line.
Yeah,
no. You know, I was talking about it yesterday, watching practice yesterday. I was talking about it with a few guys saying, and that's exactly what the conversation was led into, Jerry, right? Well, it should be about, you know, and somebody said, you know what? Man, we've been saying that for the last few years, you know, and it's true. Should be a better offensive line. We look at it on paper, it should be better, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
And hopefully it is. I mean, that's all we can say is that hopefully Neil, you know, brings the punch to the line. And this kid is, you know, this kid really, he's going to struggle at times. He's just a rookie, man.
Yeah.
But hopefully he's a big improvement at right tackle, and he solidifies, settles down that right side with the veteran. And now you got the veteran center and Lemieux, and then you got, you know, the now, well, 3 year man, Andrew Thomas, you know, so you hope it settles down. But once again, Jerry, you know, we're sitting here saying, well, the offensive line should be better. And all we could do is sit and wait and see how they develop, you know, see how they develop during training camp and the regular season.
Yeah.
Because right now on paper, they should be better. And Saquon should do a lot more things in his system, but we've talked about that in the past too, right? Well, Saquon's going to do this, Saquon's going to do that, you know, so.
Yeah,
we'll see. You know, it's a new voice is in, and all I could tell is what all I could tell everybody, Jerry, is what I see, and what I see, and that they want to make Saquon a focal point in this offense and getting him in space and utilizing his talent, bro, which is in space. That's his talent, right? That's what he does best. So
right. Going to be a major factor in the passing game, no? With Dable?
He should be. Yeah. He should be. You know, let's not forget.
I'm not going to hold it against you, Chris. I'm just asking.
Let's not forget. You know, he had 91 catches under Pat Shurmur his first year. You know, and I'm pretty sure, Jerry, if you talk to Dable on the side, and you know, he'll never say this in a media session, but if you talk to him on the side, go, Brian, you know, what are you expecting? You know, what's the number you're looking for that? I'm guarantee you, he would say, oh, 70 plus with Saquon. Yeah. You know, that's what we're looking for, 70 plus.
Yeah.
And look, this isn't an offense, Jerry. Dable doesn't come from an offense where they threw to the backs a lot. You know, they didn't. That wasn't a big part of their offense, throwing to the backs up in Buffalo. Singletary, I think Singletary led the Bills last year out of the back with like 40 something catches.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not 80 catches. It's not Josh Jacob numbers. It's not Saquon rookie year numbers. But reading, you know, listening to Dable, listening to Kafka, you know, it's not like, you know, Dable's going to bring a system down here to New York and say, well, that's not what I do. You know, oh, no, we're not going to. No, he sees Saquon. He sees the talent out of the backfield, and they're going to make that a huge part of the offense. So that's what I'm saying. Like, don't, you know, Dable's going to adjust to that. He's going to adjust to his talent. You know, he's not going to be like, so, well, Chris, this is my system, that's it.
Are you telling me that maybe we have a coach who's looking at the talent and kind of put in a system for their talent rather than square peg round hole?
That's what you see in these practices. You know, nice. Of course, things change when the games start, when you're down 7-0 right away, or you turn the ball over early, you're down 10-0, now you have to go. But this is what you're seeing, you know?
Yeah.
You're seeing in the red zone. You know, you're seeing in the red zone. You've seen, hey.
Yeah,
so
I
reported it yesterday.
I know you're going with this.
And you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah,
the Chiefs thing? Right.
Yeah.
So, good job, Jared. So, I was excited, Jared, when I saw it. You know, it was the other side. We were on the other side of the field, too. But I was waiting for some of the Andy Reid influence on Mike Kafka, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I put it on Twitter yesterday, and I saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
The old, they're on the five, and Jerry, I was far away, but I believe they're on the five, maybe even the four. Anyway, they were inside the 10. Put it that way. They were inside the 10.
Yeah.
I believe it was the 5-yard line. So, this is where you have to do this. This is where you have to do the play anyway, inside the 5. You can't do it from the 10. But the old Jones takes the snap, Jerry, rolls to his right, and does the underhand flip to the running back, dude. The old Patrick Mahomes specialty, where he likes to flip it to Travis Kelce or flip it to Darrell Williams or flip it to one in the back over the last few years. Which seems to work 100% of the time for Andy
Reid. Every time.
Even though you know these teams, I've seen it on film, are preparing for it. For some reason, you know, and this is kudos to Andy Reid and his staff. For some reason, Mahomes, they always execute it for a touchdown, it seems like, right? Always.
Yeah.
But I saw it yesterday, and I was like, ah, there it is. You know, I'm like, I'm looking for the first signature Chiefs moment where, and this is not a negative, everybody. This is a, you know, this is what you want to do. This guy comes from an Andy Reid system. You want to see some Andy Reid stuff, right?
Right.
And there it was, Jerry, that little flip to Saquon inside five and went for a touchdown. And I said, there it is. You know,
That's awesome. Nice.
A little, you know, stealing a little play from Andy Reid's playbook, you know, and that should make everybody happy, bro.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't stealing, you know, from Joe Judge play. It was just Freddie Kitchens playbook. This is Andy Reid we're talking about.
Who's going to the
Hall of Fame, right? Right. So, and he's one of the best offensive minds to ever, you know, step on the field, Andy Reid. So, I was just like, oh, I'm throwing this on Twitter right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
it was a good moment. And I expect to see a lot more things like that. The Tyreek Hill type things where, you know, it goes in motion, circles back around, goes the other way. Because they have the plays to do, Jerry. You got this kid now, Wandale Robinson, who fits that jet to his, you know, fake jet swoop, come back around, fits that to a T. You got Kadarius Toney, who could do it, you know. And you're going to see it, dude. You're going to see it in the regular season, trust me. So I thought it was a good moment. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, I love that play, what the Chiefs do. Of course, the Chiefs work it to perfection, of course. We'll see how the Giants work it once they break it out, but it was good to see.
Now, are you concerned with the injuries at wide receiver? Because I just think that people get disappointed when they hear red jersey all the time.
Jerry, look, it's a long – yeah, look, it's a concerning. I'm not, Jerry.
Right.
Now, come talk to me July 27th. 28th when we kick up practices and they still have red jerseys on. Then I'll be like, what the hell? I don't expect Tony and Galladay to have red jerseys on in the July.
Yeah.
So right now, no. Am I really concerned? No. I see them working.
Okay.
From what I hear, they're going to be fine for training camp. You know.
What about Thomas?
I expect, yes, Andrew Thomas. He might start the camp, Jerry, with the red, but he should be fine as the camp moves along. You know, Thibodeau's another one, Jerry. I expect him to be fine once training camp starts. You know, he's doing a lot of agility work on the side. He seems to be moving all right. But it's like Dable said, there's no reason to push anybody this time of year, guys. You know?
Right.
There's
right.
no reason. Now, when we're in August, as the regular season's coming up, yeah, now it starts getting, okay, we got to push it a little bit. Who's playing, you know, getting on the field and all that.
Right.
But no reason right now, Jerry. No reason to push it.
Okay, fair enough. I got another question for you. Is there anything to Ricky Seals-Jones being on the third team tight end?
No, I wouldn't take any reps. You know, any depth charts now, any reps.
Because I know Dable said no, but, I mean, we're not. No one's excited about Ricky Seals-Jones. I'm more excited about the rookie. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, Bellinger's been getting a lot of reps at the twos, even ones. Right. But look, right now, Jerry, if you had to give me a depth chart right now, yeah, it's going to be, you know, Jordan Akins, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones, and then Bellinger, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's going to be the depth chart at the end of August.
Right.
But right now, yeah. But Jerry, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones is a mediocre tight end, dude. Let's say, you know, he's a mediocre tight end, and that's the way he's going to be going into camp. But Bellinger, who did drop a few balls this week.
Yeah.
Dropped one Tuesday, and he dropped one Wednesday. But he's been impressive, Jerry. He's a big boy. You know, and he's going to get a lot of reps in training camp, you know, to be that third tight end and all that, and which I believe he will be, you know, which I believe he will be.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the offense before we jump over to defense you want to talk about?
No, look.
Anything else that stood out, I should say?
Like I said, the defense, you know, Wandale stood out this offseason program.
Yeah.
He had a very strong CJ Board stood out this offseason program.
Right.
Slayton at times did. You know, the problem with Slayton, Jerry, is that we've seen this for 3 years now. He'll have great practices or he'll have a great stretch run in practices.
Right.
And then he'll do what I saw the other day. Drop a ball right in his hands on a beautiful throw from Tyrod Taylor. Or was it Daniel? I'm trying to remember which one. On a go. It might have been Taylor.
It was Tyrod Taylor.
I think it was Tyrod, right? So
yeah, based on your tweet. Yeah,
he rolled to the left. I'm trying to remember what the hell I tweeted.
I got to be honest with you, Chris. When you say beautiful ball, it's usually Tyrod Taylor.
Wow. I'm not going to touch that one. Okay, so, and Slayton, you know, right in his hands, and Slayton dropped it. You know, I mean, that's, you know, we've seen a little bit of inconsistency with Slayton, but is Slayton, overall, though, Joe, you know, Slayton seems to be picking up the offense well, and he's had a pretty good off season. So, look, it's a guy they're going to need, Jerry.
Especially with injuries to other guys. Right.
You know, we don't expect Shep back to October. You know,
right? Injuries to other guys, man.
And then you know, Galladay's got a little bit of an injury history. Tony's first year was injury. You know, had some injury issues, but
nightmarish first season.
You know what I mean? You know, so you're going to need a Slayton, man.
He has a golden opportunity here. Like, come on, man, make the most of it.
He's been at every OTA. He's worked hard, you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to need a guy like this, man.
Yeah.
You're going to need him because can you really sit here right now, Jerry, and say, okay, well, we're going to have Galladay for 17 games. You know, we're going to have Kadarius for 17 games. Can you, you know?
Nope.
So.
On the defensive side of the ball, you said you're seeing a lot of blitzes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about linebacker. Who does he have starting in the inside? Curious.
He's had Carter Coughlin's gotten reps with the ones.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? The other side.
McFadden. Is it McFadden or
McFadden
no?
McFadden had was been with the twos. Tate Crowder a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm
just curious. That's a spot that intrigues me still.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be some good camp, you know, good camp battles in there.
Beavers.
Beavers has been in the mix.
Yeah.
And then the outside rotation, you know, the Jihad Ward's, you know, obviously Aziz, Allison Smith, and you know, obviously when Kayvon gets back,
right,
Thibodeau, you know, and then the rotation up front, you know, we'll expect. You know, look, if Thibodeau, Jerry, if Thibodeau plays really well and we expect him to be, you know, a pretty impactful type kid out there, yeah, it's going to free up a lot for Leonard Williams. You know, it's going to going to free up a lot for Dexter Lawrence, man. You know, I mean, so what you're seeing out there, you know, you've seen like Dexter, he's moving around in that line. Leo's moving around in that line. Justin Ellis is basically going to be over that center. He'll be under three, you know, the guy from the veteran from Baltimore. Yeah. That Wink knows well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dexter Lawrence is going to be a guy, Jerry. It's going to be very interesting to watch because he's in a new system here. And he's going to be over that center, as we call the zero a lot. I even asked Dexter about it the other day, you know. Does he expect to be on that zero a lot more? Because, you know, Wink always had that big body in that base 3-4 defense in Baltimore, which was Brandon Williams for years. You know, Brandon Williams has been in Baltimore for a while. Wink picked him up, you know, 4 years ago and had him. You know, and Wink likes that big body in that base 3-4 that he plays, you know, for what, the first down,
Sure.
You know?
So,
and Dexter kind of fits that, you know, and he's more athletic than Brandon Williams over in Baltimore. So
seems like a position he's more made for, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that could do some damage in the middle because he's so, you know, he is athletic for his size, you know?
Right.
And he could push that pocket a little bit. So I asked him, you know, do you expect to play a lot more in that zero this year? You know, considering that, you know, Wink likes that guy, you know, he had Brandon for years, and will you be that guy? And he said, yeah, he expect more to play more, but they do move around that line, you know?
Right.
You'll have Leo, they'll play. You know, then, you know, second down, second and seven, you're going to see two defensive linemen, and then you're going to, you know, that's what Wink does, you know. So he'll be an interesting guy to watch. You know, the Giants did pick up his fifth-year option, you know. That's how much they thought of Dexter, you know. They picked him up. And before anybody tweets at us, well, I guess that means they don't think much of Daniel. No, relax. I'm just talking about Dexter, you know. Daniel's a whole different circumstance. You know, so this guy's going to be interesting to watch. Jahad Ward is a guy you're going to love, Jerry. What a character this guy is.
Okay, good.
Like I said, we talked about him before. He's going to get some pressures. He'll get you 3-4 sacks, the whole deal. But what a character. You know, Wink loves him. Dable loves him. He's a good locker room guy. Came out yesterday, 2 days ago, I think it was. And, you know, basically said he's going to be all over, as he put it, Thibodeau's ass, you know, to make sure he knows his playbook.
Good.
So he doesn't go out and play slow. Because, you know, most rookies, Jerry, it takes them in the NFL, it'll take them 8 games, 9 games, 10 games. It takes a lot of rookies a whole season.
Yeah.
Not many rookies come in and play fast. You know what
I mean?
Right. They play slow because they just don't quite know what the F is going on yet out there. You know?
Right.
And I'm not saying it can't be effective, can't make some impactful play. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying most rookies, what the NFL likes to say, play slow the first 8, 10, and then you start picking it up. You know, there's not many Lawrence Taylors, Jerry, that come in from day one and say, and, you know, just like that guy's been in the league 10 years. You know what I mean? Like he's just out there destroying people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
So that's what Jahad Ward meant by that. You know, as far as, you know, he wants to try to get Thibodeau out of the gate quick, make sure he knows what he's doing, and play fast. You know, that's what they're looking to help him there. You know, and other guys will be helping Kayvon too because they see how serious he takes his craft, Thibodeau.
Yeah, yeah.
And when veterans see rookies, how serious they are, Jerry, veterans gravitate towards these guys. They want to help them. You know what I mean? They're like, this is what we're doing. This is what you're seeing. This is what you have to do. You know, if you have a DeAndre Baker type attitude as a rookie, where like, hey, I got this all, I figured it out. Don't worry about me, I'm good. You know, I could sleep during a meeting. Well, you know, give me a break. I don't need this, you know. And trust me, I told you stories about veterans rolling their eyes, talking about him when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, when they see, especially a highly touted draft pick like Kayvon, they see the kid and they see how hard the kid's working, how much he asks questions, how many questions he asks, how hard he wants to work. So that's great, man. And these veterans are going to go over there and go, all right, this is what we're doing here. You know, this and that, and try to speed the process along. Because it's a lot for rookies, Jerry. I don't care how good you are, what conference you came out of, dude.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world at this level.
Yeah. It's a good point. How is Cordell Flott's journey to slot corner to go in? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I like him, Jerry, so far. Yeah. That's going to be a guy. Donnie's had the red jersey on, you know, the last few days.
A shame. That's a shame. Because you know, I don't mind Donnie's.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be, you know, he'll be fine for camp. There's nothing like they're saying he's not going to be good. And that's going to be a nice little battle, you know, watching Cordell and Holmes in a slot and, you know, watching him. That's where he's been. And, you know, I put it on Twitter yesterday. Listen, he's picking up valuable reps, Jerry, with the injury to Holmes, you know.
Right.
He's getting valuable reps. And I like him, man. I like what he brings to the table. I think the Giants have a pretty good one here. And we'll see how it works out, man, next month.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back after this. Hang on. And we're back. All right, dude. What else should we cover? Anything else worth covering that you saw and want to bring up? Like, you know, I have to ask the question. How does Jones look compared to how he looked last week?
The same, you know, okay. The same, you know, like I said, he's missing a lot of guys too, but yesterday was just like, it was just like basically installs. That's all they were doing.
Yeah.
A little team drills. But, you know, he's going to get all those guys back, Jerry, for training camp, hopefully. Except for Shep, we know that.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see where it goes. You know, hopefully Daniel, you know, like, this is, look, Jerry, you say it a million times. You know, Daniel looks great, throws some great balls, then he'll be like, you know, but, you know, I'm not comparing, but it's funny. I was talking to a guy on Tuesday about that, saying, oh, some throws here. And the guy was like, yes. You mean like number 10? He did the same thing, remember? I was like, yeah, you're right. You know? Yeah, right. Remember how he was like, yo, Chris, you remember how number 10 missed some throws at times?
We said that last week, like, but Eli had moments of brilliance where you're like, wow, where'd this
come from? Not comparing, but just that sometimes you forget, like, oh, yeah, guys do miss throws. You know, even Eli missed throws in practice a lot, you know, so.
Yeah.
But this is it. We all know, Jerry, going into training camp, this is it for Daniel.
So I'll tell you a quick story about with Eli. I was at an event in 2013. I was fortunate enough to go to something where he was throwing a football. It was a camp, and he's throwing football to kids. And at one point, Eli reached for a ball, reached back to pass, and his arm came forward without the ball, and he had no reaction to it. It was let me just grab another ball, and I was like. I was laughing like, oh my, like he just does like, oh, let me get another ball. Like, okay, no big deal. Yeah. That happens. You know, it's just funny. Like, you know, no.
Yeah. Nothing fazed him.
No, nothing fazes him. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, did you see that? Because it happens to everybody, but he was just like, he just literally said, oh yeah, another ball.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And nothing, you know, the media, nothing fazed Eli, you know, he's always the same Eli, you know.
Yeah, you know.
No matter what, always the same. Okay, I'll go out next pass, you know. Next series, we'll get him, you know.
which worked well in the two-minute drill. He was never fazed by it. Like, okay. So we hope Daniel can kind of do the same. That's what Daniel needs to do. Daniel needs like the signature win was, you know, Todd Bowles covering everybody and Jones just running up the middle. We need like a pass in the end zone for a win with Jones. You know what I mean? You need to see it.
How nice would that be, Jerry, for his confidence if they did that like in week one?
Oh, God.
If Daniel went out and kind of won the game for him in the last 2 minutes or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's what the kid needs, man, you know?
Yeah.
He's been, look, besides inconsistencies, decision-making, questions, so on, we understand. We get it. But this kid's also been jerked around for 3 years here, like John Maris said. Like John Maris said, we screwed this kid up for 3 freaking years. That's what he said, John. I was right there when he said it. And, you know, hopefully everything settles down here and with this offense on the table and the offensive line settles down and gives the kid a chance. You know what I mean? More of a chance, I should say. Not that everything hasn't been his fault. Don't get me wrong. A lot of it has been his fault. I'm just saying more of a chance to succeed, you know? And
it's a horrible offensive line, all these new offenses. I mean, come on. Yeah, give me a break. So,
it's not easy. Terminology, everything's different, you know, and now we learned now he has to learn a whole new offense again, you know, and he's still learning it. It's not like he's got it down now, you know. Right. He's still learning it. So.
Yep. Anything else before we want to jump to questions?
No, I mean that's it. Like we talked about.
Cool.
They'll be off a month and a half. It's not official yet as far as fans at training camp, but I'm hearing it's going to happen. You know, the NFL hasn't made it official yet, as far as allowing fans, but I'm sure from what I understand, the fans will be allowed. Something I want to mention, Jerry, Dable confirmed to us that the Giants and Jets will be having conducting joint practices and leading up to their game at the end of August.
Yeah.
And it will be at the Giants facility at Quest Diagnostics. So that should be a fun event. I'm sure there'll be a couple of fights breaking out in that baby, you know, in those few days, you know.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Was I a little surprised? Giants, Jets getting together? I mean, the last time they got together, I think it was Jeremy Shockey days, you know.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised, but it's a whole new era here, right? I mean, look at Joe Shane. He traded up with the Jets early in the draft, and I was like, "What? We traded the Jets? What?" You know, Robert Saleh and Brian Dable are friends. They really respect each other, and I guess they reached out and said, "Hey, listen, let's make this. We're playing the last game. Let's do this. We're right here. We're neighbors.
Yeah.
Let's get together a few days, and hopefully everything goes well." And all that, because the last time the Giants and Jets got together, Coughlin wanted to beat the crap out of Donnie Henderson, the Jets secondary coach, and he was screaming, "You don't do that," and they were like, "Well, that's the way we do it," and it was ugly. Remember, there was fights, and they were like, "Oh, this, we're never doing this again," you know. They were going after Shockey, the whole deal, right? The whole deal. Yeah. That's been put on the back burner for a long time, but now it's back, and it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, Jerry, at the end of August.
Yeah, should be good. It's a nice warm up too. It's a nice because tempers will flare and. It's a good warm-up.
Oh, without question. It'll be 90 degrees every day, Jerry. They'll be sick and tired of, practicing against each other, you know, even though they'll have a few games under the belt by then, but still.
The first practice will be all right, and then after that, it's like, okay, I've seen enough of this.
Yeah, I expect the first practice to be, everything went great, and then the second one will be full-scale brawls probably, you know what I mean?
Some it's being ripped off. Yeah.
Well, if there is, you better hope Corey Cunningham's in the middle of one, because, he throws a pretty wicked right.
Nice, that's awesome.
That was confirmed by Dable, so that should be pretty fun for everybody.
Cool. Good stuff, buddy. All right, let's jump into it. Philip at Disgruntled Phil. A lot of fun questions this week, Chris. Are the Giants bringing back the buffet for the media team this year? Hashtag buffoon crew.
The what?
The buffet. Are they bringing back the
buffet? Oh, you mean for the training camp buffet? I don't know. With the tent? I don't know. Well, you know what? I would say yeah. I mean, they've had food for us every day. So I would say yeah. I would say the media team, the buffet, which I hope, by the way. I hope they do.
Good food, man.
Nice spread. Hot food. They're nice spread, the whole deal. So I'm hoping everything seems to be going back to normal, Phil. So yeah, I would say yeah.
And the Jets don't do that, right? I'm just reminding some Jets.
I don't think the Jets do. The Jets are pretty strict with their stuff over there. I had some.
Jason always says that. Jets don't do this.
Yeah, I had some post reporters telling me that they can't even get interviews with one-on-one with guys. You know, it's all the podium. That's it. I was like, wow, the Jets are pretty strict. They're tough with that. Yeah, the Jets are a little difficult.
Oh, they're superstars over there, so you can't interview them one-on-one.
I guess with all the Super Bowl trophies, it's tough to walk around.
There it is. Right. Adrian and I full of great question. I apologize. I touched on it, but that's a hell of a question. Big Blue Attic 1969. Chris, who do you see winning the battle for tight end number two?
I'm going to go Ricky Seals-Jones. Yeah.
So who's won?
The way I look at it is that 1, 2, 3. The way I look at it is what 3 or 4. But I'm going to go with the 3 because I don't know what Dable's going to do with 4. So I'm going to go with, Atkins. Like I said, the veteran Jordan Akins. Mm-hmm. I should say Akins. I'm sorry. Akins. And Ricky Seals-Jones and Bellinger, that's the way I see it, yeah.
Okay. Brian at New York Sports Fan, 1976. If you're going to play a round of golf with 3 players from this roster, Chris, who would they be and why?
Daniel, because Daniel, I heard, is pretty good. Mm. So I'll play with Daniel.
Would you hustle him or no? Would you just play?
I don't know. I have to see how he is in the first hole. Okay. I heard Daniel has a beautiful swing, hits the ball a mile, but has a bad short game and bad approach. So, I love Daniel. I think he's such a great dude. So I wouldn't hustle. Yeah. No. But Daniel probably one of them. What other guys on the roster? Probably Saquon. He's getting into golf a little bit. And I'm trying to think who else on the roster.
I thought there'd be a guy you named first just to hang out with him all day.
Who?
Your boy, Sterling.
Oh, Shep. You know what? Yeah. Yeah. Probably
just to hang out. Yeah.
Probably Shep because she's a good. Yeah, probably. I would go. You know what? Shep, Daniel Jones. I got to think of a. It's got to be a big lineman. Oh my boy. And Shane Lemieux.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I love Shane. Nice. I love Shane. Yeah,
so and
Shane
Lemieux. Nice. All
right, I got to get cool. The big hogs up in money. So I'll go with Shane, Shep, and Daniel Jones.
Hypothetical from Jason Martin. Knowing what you know now, would you rather have Tony and Neil or Slater? It's too early for that, bud. Yeah. It's a good question, and it's you could ask that you know when the season starts and you start seeing Neil. But
yeah. Can we let Neil play a snap?
Yeah, right now Slater. I mean, it's an easy answer, but you know let's let these guys play. So
yeah,
but hey, I like the hypotheticals, dude. I like it. Giants fan Vermont. Hey guys, love the cast. You do a great job. Does anyone else think that Jihad Ward looks like Jizza from Wu-Tang Clan? Does he remind
who?
You? Jihad Ward.
Looks like who?
I think it's GZA. It's Jizza, isn't it? Isn't that how you pronounce it?
Oh, he means RZA. RZA.
Oh, he says GZA.
Oh no, I think he messed it up. He means RZA. Okay. No, I actually personally know RZA. No, he does not look like. He does not look like RZA. No, there is no GZA in Wu-Tang unless I'm missing something over the years, but I'm pretty sure he means RZA, RZA. And no.
The genius. The guy referred to as the genius.
That's RZA, I'm pretty sure, because he was the producer a lot. He produced a lot. So I'm going to go RZA, but that's what he means.
Okay.
And considering I actually know RZA, I knew RZA over the years, I would say... no, I'm not gonna go with that one too much.
All right, good stuff, buddy. That's awesome. Wu-Tang. Carson's Gatorade Dunk, great name. Fourth and goal from the two.
Yeah.
Run play, last play of the game. Who gets the ball? The 05 version of Tiki, the 08 version of Jacobs, or the 86 version of Joe Morris? Great pod, guys. Thank you. I know mine.
Joe Morris, right? Probably yeah, gonna go Joe Morris, yeah.
Not even close. Yeah. And I mean, look, you get the line too. It's the 86 version. But it just seemed like all they had to do was hand the ball off. He runs right and he's in.
Yep.
I just think of the Super Bowl when he just kind of looked back like, okay, thanks, guys. Let's see. Johnny Grasso, not a question, but Stephen Baker and OJ Anderson spoke at my school and they couldn't be nicer. A student asked OJ who was better, him or Barry Sanders. He laughed and said, Barry has more yards. I have more Super Bowl MVPs. Hashtag section 126. Also, Kenobi is awesome. Good stuff, Johnny. Nice job, buddy. Richie Wood. Greetings from Dublin, Ireland. Can you see Evan Neal having a better rookie season at tackle than Andrew Thomas did his rookie season? Many thanks, guys. Hashtag yeah. Irish buffoon.
That's a good question.
It is.
I'm going to go, baby. Yeah. I'm going to go. I think Evan Neal is going to have a better rookie year than right. Andrew did.
Nice. What rookie will have the most impact on the team from Granamax dad? I don't know, man. That's a
Thibodeau.
Tough one.
I'm going to go with Thibodeau on that one.
Thibodeau, yeah, I guess
Thibodeau,
so.
Thibodeau, sorry.
Big New York sports fan. Do the Boo Birds come out before Halloween?
It's possible.
I mean, we're Giant fans, right? It's
Look, if they're playing like crap, there's going to be Boo Birds out there. You don't think Giant fans are not going to boo because it's a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
You know, if they can't move the ball and then losing, you know, they're going to get booed.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of losing around here for a long time. You know?
Lisa at So Bad Six, which receiver do you see getting the most yards this year if healthy? Kadarius Toney for me.
Yeah, man, I'm going to go
with
Toney.
That's huge,
too.
Though. I mean, healthy is the key.
I'm going to go with Kadarius and I'll go with Galladay for even though he had zero touchdowns last year, I'll go with Galladay for I'm going to go with Toney now.
Yeah, me too.
He had a lot of yards in a limited amount of snaps last year, right?
He had 188 against Dallas, so or 189 or whatever it was. Yeah he did. He's just got to stay healthy. Got to get on the field, man. Chris at Albany, New York football. Hypothetical. Giants finish 8-9 and are very competitive. Their offense finishes top 16 with the following stat line. Jones, 30 TDs. Yes, I was right. 14 INTs. Barkley, 1,000 yards rushing, 900 receiving, 12 touchdowns. Who do you extend and who would you tag and who would you let walk? I'll go first. If those are the stat lines, they're going to extend Daniel Jones. And it's weird, Chris. I know, like, in my heart of hearts, Barkley has to explode for them to re-sign him. But I do think they're going to, like, if he has a ridiculous year and he's a jersey seller again, I mean, I don't know, man. They're going to do everything they can, I would think, to keep him. But maybe I'm just an idiot. I don't know. I don't know. It's so far away, guys. It's hard to answer now. But yeah. Look, we have nothing else to do, so we'll just think about it. If Jones has that kind of year, 30 touchdowns, 14 picks, I mean, then it's working, I would think. 8-9, I think that gets him a new contract. And then the Barkley stuff, I would imagine they try and keep him in some way. They're not going to give him a ridiculous contract. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I'm all over the place. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, if Jones has that type of year, it's going to be at least worth a tag, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And Saquon, that's a tough call. I just don't see this regime extending a running back with big money.
Right. Smart wise, you don't do it. But yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. And obviously Saquon's gonna, you know, ask for big money, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't see this regime giving a running back big money.
Yeah. Posty at P_Posty. What is your biggest goal for you this season? Mine is please don't let our running back get hit by the other team. Defense 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage on every damn play. I just want to be respectable.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
I just want to be respectable again and be able to wear my shirt without embarrassment, Posty. That's all. Yeah, especially where we live in Central Jersey.
Right.
And I just don't embarrass ourselves. No more 2nd-and-8 quarterback sneaks. That's all.
Right.
I'm not asking for much here, man. Tom at TomLab66. Which player stood out to you during OTAs? Love? Also, what available pizza topping should never go on a pizza? Mine is anchovies. Thanks for all the updated Giant Insider info. Thank you, Tom. Nice. I would say, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
What player stood out?
Yeah.
You know, rookie-wise, it's got to be Wandale Robinson. No, he kind of stood out to me. You know, I really liked what he did.
Pizza. What
pizza? I hate pineapple, dude. Pineapple.
Oh, there it is. We agree.
Yeah.
That's a stupid topping.
And anchovies. I agree with the anchovies too, bro.
I don't like anchovies, but I get why people put them on a pizza. It's fine. It's acceptable. Pineapple's unacceptable. Go to California if you're going to do that crap.
Yeah, if you're going to do that crap, exactly. Go to Hawaii or something. I don't know. Whatever they have to do.
That's what they call it, the Hawaiian. Ham's fine, but pineapple, forget it. No way.
Yeah, there's certain things that shouldn't be on pizza. I think that's one of them.
Yes, I can't. You nailed it. Nailed it. Easy peasy. Everybody's asking, it's funny, man, what will it take for you to get to London? What will it take for you to get to Jacksonville? Really appreciate it, guys.
Airplanes.
free airplane miles. Chris no longer in St. Pete. Now that the fans and media...
Where are you, Chris, if you're no longer in St. Pete? I wonder where he is.
I think he's in Charleston,
hell in
South
New York?
Carolina. It looks like Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and he's got a Ranger GIF. Nice, buddy. Now that fans and media will be granted access this summer, is there a number of practices you need to see to say, oh boy, we're going to struggle in this area or we might surprise some people? Like, when you're watching training camp, Chris, how far in is it like, oh God, we're in trouble here? Or, oh, we're pretty good here. Most of the time it's we're in trouble.
I like to give it a few weeks of practices. And then that first preseason game.
Yeah.
And then I saw saying, oh, man, we could be in trouble here, you know?
Yeah. All right.
But I'll give, you know what? I would say, let's see. First 2 weeks of practices, even before the preseason game, I'll look and say, oh, we could be in trouble, you know? We're in trouble here. Yeah. Or I'll say, hey, watch this guy. Right, Jerry? I've done that over years. Hey, Jerry, watch this dude.
Yeah.
You know, this dude's making plays.
You're kind of saying it with McKinney. I'm getting excited about McKinney right now.
Right. And I'll be like, watch this guy or watch this guy's hand. Oh, I really like this guy. And, you know, I've also over the years said to Jerry, too. Like, I like, Jerry, we're in trouble here. This, right, Jerry? Yes. And basically, unfortunately, a lot of times I've been correct.
Yeah.
You know, we were in trouble in a certain area. So, you know what? That's a good question. I'd say give it the first 2 weeks of training camp.
Yeah, And Chris is very honest with me when he thinks we're going to stink in an area, and he's usually right, unfortunately. So I get that one, that update quickly. Oh, dude, we're in trouble in this. Like, all right, let's still make the podcast somewhat positive. Let's see. Big Blue VCR, who does God's work on Twitter. I mean, the deep cuts he's been putting out, like a Brian Alford reception, dude. I mean, you're a buffoon in the best way, Big Blue VCR. Yeah. My God. Hypothetical question. Assume Gettleman steps down after 2020 and Abrams is named GM. If 2021 plays out as it did, is Abrams and Judge given another year, or do the Giants? No, I think they make the same changes. I think if they were 4-13 with Gettleman out of there and Abrams in, I think they make the same change. Yeah. That's just me.
Yeah,
but let's see. We'll do two more. Thomas Demopoulos. I think I pronounced that right. How about a June prediction? What will be the watershed moment for this team? Week 5 against the Packers to get a sense of how new the team is adjusting. Week 9 trade deadline during New York Giants bye week. Week 18 finale versus Eagles with a chance to get into the playoffs. I mean, I would love nothing more, but I don't think any of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think it's too early. I don't want to talk about it because I'm just going to look like a buffoon. But I like the way our schedule lines up the first few weeks. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I think we could be in a pleasant mood come the end of September. That's all. I'll leave it at that. Try to go one more, but there are a lot of them are the same, and a lot of it is stuff that we kind of covered already. Okay, first time, long time. Last one. Do you think there's a chance in the future that they consider Neal at left tackle because he turns out to be better than Thomas? Also, I prefer my hot dogs boiled, # dirty water dogs.
Oh, my God. Who's that alien that just landed on the earth?
First time, long time, his name is.
Is that you, Jerry? Is that your burner account?
It's my burner account.
Huh?
No, it's not. I would tell you. Well, I would tell you off air.
So I'm sorry, what was the question besides the boiled hot dogs?
I got distracted too, and now I gotta go find it. Wow, that's bad. Do you think there's a chance in the future that they consider Neal at left tackle because he turns out to be actually better than Andrew Thomas? Would they ever move them?
I mean unless Thomas is a total failure at left tackle.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't resign, or they don't give him a second contract for some reason, you know, because they don't think he's good enough. Then they can move Neal over to left tackle. But, you know, that's the way I see it.
I got one more. One more. Personal question. Anthony Fat Joe. After listening to the pod last week, I discovered you're a truck guy. I think he's talking about you, Chris. The question is, do you drive a Ram or a Ford? With the cost of gas right now, what would be your dream vehicle if you could have any? So do you drive a van or a Ram or a Ford, Chris?
Ford.
Yeah, me too. F-150.
Me too.
Yes. And what is your dream vehicle?
My dream vehicle?
Yeah.
These gas prices, freaking nothing. I guess some kind of electric car, you know.
Tesla.
I don't know. I never, you know, dream vehicle. I don't have a dream vehicle.
Me neither. I'm not a car guy. I don't know if you.
I'm not really a car guy. Where I say, no. You know, I've had. I mean, when I was younger, my dream was a vet. I had a Corvette. But I haven't been in cars, really. I really could care less for years, man.
Same.
I got a truck, like I said.
Did you ever have a minivan?
No.
Okay.
But I've had Explorer, you know, the whole deal, Explorers. Yeah, now I got the 150 and all that. And I don't think I'm going to have a middle-age crisis of buying a Corvette. Like
I was just going to say that. I don't think I'm headed that way either.
I see so many guys that are like older than me or my age and driving around in these vets. I'm like, what are we doing here? You know? But God bless them if that's what they, you know. But
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, I have a minivan. I've had three versions of minivans for so long. Yeah. What am I going to do? Buy a, like you said, a vet or something? Like, not sport, Mustang? No, it's never going to happen. So,
you know what? And to be honest with you, Jerry, I was rear-ended a few times in Staten Island.
Okay.
Once on the expressway.
Yeah.
And I actually saw it coming. You know, it was one of those deals, Jerry. You come to a sudden stop in traffic and you look in the rear view and you see the guy behind you. You said, this guy is not slowing down. I was like this. I was just like, I saw it and waiting for impact, bro.
Boom,
you know?
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, Jerry. If I had like a sedan or a smaller sports car or something like that, I might have been sucking glass down my throat if I even lived, you know? Yeah, I mean, right, I got creamed pretty good one time, you know? Yeah. So ever since then, I got to be honest with you, I was like, you know what? I love the trucks. If I get crawled by another, you know, maybe I have a better shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right. So I've been sticking with trucks for a long time. My vet days are over and all that stuff, you know? Yeah. So.
Nice.
And not to mention, Jerry, I'm getting old, buddy. I mean, my son had a sedan for a while, and sometimes I used it. One time I drove up to Boston with it. Oh my God, Jerry, I get out. My back's killing me. I can't get in. And, you know, I'm freaking 6'2", and I'm 55. I'm like, oh, no way. Anything never again longer, with this, you know?
Anything longer than a half hour, you have to get out and, like, stretch.
Oh, Jerry, it was, you know what I mean? It was getting into it. I'm like, I'm done with this crap. You know, I'm just sticking with trucks.
Just roll out of it.
Exactly. Climb in it, you know, so.
Yeah. Good stuff, dude. Anything else?
No, that's it, man. We'll try to line up some guests for these next weeks coming up. Downtime. That's it, man. You know, so everybody enjoyed this summer, right? Summer's here. It's warm. It's been warm.
You getting out there anytime soon?
I'll be out there next week. I'll be out there, buddy. Doing my thing next week. Funny story. You talk about the hustle thing, you know. So I played the other day and bad few holes to begin with, you know. So the guy I played with was getting a little cocky with his mouth. You know, he's like, "Yo, Chris, the pin's that way," you know, like laughing at me, you know, like, you know, because I bogeyed this one hole, I double bogeyed. I'm like, "What the hell?" You know, sometimes you just hit ball like, "What the hell?" I looked down at my club like, "What the f was that?" You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he gave me the old, you know, like the round me up like. The pin, I think the green's that way, you know. Oh, really? Okay. And I said, all right, let me focus here. Now I'm gonna really concentrate and smoke the crap out of this guy now for the next freaking 15 holes, you know. So after like the seventh hole, he goes, after I smoked him like the next four holes, and then he's on the green, and I'm like, nice putt, dude. Like I had to give it to him a little bit. Nice putt, you know. I said, you couldn't even hit an ocean if it was in front of you right now. I told him on the green. So after the seventh hole, yeah, I had to talk a little Michael Jordan smack to him because he talked smack, you know. So, and he was just like,
oh. "You don't start it, you don't start it, you finish it."
No, I never really. Yeah, who the hell am I to start anything, you know? Right. So and he's like, after the eighth hole, he goes, "So after this par five hole where I buried it," and he was like, still like 100 yards behind me trying to hit his fourth shot up to the green. I go. He goes like this. He goes. Maybe I should open my mouth, huh? I said, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have, dude. I said, nice. But just for that, I said, now I'm going to punish you on the back nine, too. And I said, come on. What I should have done, though, like the question I was asked last week, what I should have done, I should have just kept playing like crap for four more holes and go, you know what? Money, you know, I want to play for like, you know, $10 a hole, $20 a hole, you know, maybe that'll get me going. And then I should have robbed them for the back nine. Yeah. That's what I should have, but I'm a nice guy, Jerry. I don't want to...
Nice.
That's what
I
should have done.
I love that you finished the trash talk and didn't start it. There you go.
Yeah. I, like I said, like the after this par 5/8, he was just like, maybe I should open my mouth. Huh? I said, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have.
Yeah, so you handled it the right way. You just played better. I probably would have launched my club and walked off the course if you said that to me. I would have just thrown it and been like, screw you, I hate you, I don't want to talk to you ever again. You know, the right way, the mature way, right? Yeah.
Hey, you just got to, you know what? You just got to focus. Go, hey, what the hell am I doing wrong?
So you play better angry or no?
No. What it does, Jerry, is that, no, Jerry, if you play angry, you're not going to play golf.
Not any sport. You know? I mean, it was always the case. You're not gonna if I played angry, golf. I was out of it.
So what you do is, Jerry, is if you're having some shitholes, which happens all the time and happens to everybody, you know, unless you're on TV and even they have shitholes. You know, you just got to concentrate, dude. You just got to focus. You just got to, okay, you know what? My swing is off. Whatever the hell it might be, I got to concentrate here. You know, maybe the concentration, because all it is a little concentration being off just a little bit, and your club handle will come down sideways, and it'll hit the ball to the right or left.
Right.
Or your jack went left, whatever it might be. So it's just a matter of concentration. If you get angry, dude, you're done.
You're done.
You're done. Yeah. You're done. Yeah.
All right.
At least for me, anyway. I don't know, maybe some other guys out there, they get angry, they play better. But for me, no.
No, not usually. Not for me. Any sport you play angry, you just start, you know, you screw up. You lose concentration. Especially,
yeah,
so. You just play that way with basketball. So, anyway.
So Giant fans enjoyed a month and a half off. There'd be nothing really to talk about.
Well,
And
hopefully no one gets in trouble. Everyone stays in, you know, no one gets in trouble and makes stupid news. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that. Everybody enjoy. Enjoy the summer, man.
Good stuff, man. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everyone.
All right. Be good, everybody.